views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Welcome to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. Each week, you'll learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness and explore the deeper knowledge within. Welcome home. Now here's your host, Dr. Kelly Neff.
Hello, everyone. I am Dr. Kelly Neff, and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio here on Transformation Talk Radio at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on the first Wednesday of every month. Stay with us for the next hour, and let us help you experience healing, inspiration and knowledge to really become the best version of yourself. I also just want to remind everyone you can listen to all of the archive shows. There's almost 100 on lucidplanetradio.com or just by searching for Lucid Planet Radio on iTunes and SoundCloud. And I also want to remind everyone to stay tuned for my brand new Sex and Relationships book series and show, Slut Logic, which is all about empowering people to love their sexuality and a real study of the psychology and sociology of sex, love, and dating in this new millennia. So it's going to be very lit. Stay with us on that. And remember, you can connect with me all across social media to follow my weird and wonderful life, etc. But today's show is really about a theme that we have explored before, which is very important to me, which is the idea of biohacking, the idea that we can learn tools to improve our well-being and consciousness really from the inside out. And in this crazy, frantic, fast-paced world that is just full of stressors and distractions, literally at every turn, you know, what could be more valuable than an easy way to hack your brain and helping you relax and calm down and appreciate the present? You know, it's especially timely right now. Anxiety and depression are really reaching an all-time high, especially among young people in America. So what can we do to help them empower themselves too? You know, aside from giving them more pharmaceuticals or more screens to look at, you know, what is something we can do? And what if I told you that one of the easiest and most profound ways we can learn to relax and we can reduce anxiety, it's just really simple, that our body already does it naturally over 22,000 times a day. So yes, I'm talking about breathing. And it's amazing how by learning to use the power of your breath, you can dissolve your stress and anxiety and feel happier. My guest today says, and I quote, "Your breath is the greatest asset you have, yet few of us actually breathe correctly." And I think that is so important. And that's why my guest today, Dr. Danny Penman, is here to talk with us about his new book, The Art of Breathing. He is a meditation teacher, an award-winning writer and journalist. After getting a PhD in biochemistry, he worked for The Independent and the BBC News before co-authoring the international bestseller, Mindfulness. And he is now here with his follow-up book, The Art of Breathing, The Secret to Living Mindfully. And it's a lovely book. It's really fun to read. It almost reminds me of like Be Here Now. It has lots of like little graphics and it's easy to follow and it's just really enjoyable. And I can't wait to get into this and see if we can all leave the show just feeling a little bit better about the tools we have to control anxiety. So on that note, let's please welcome Dr. Danny Penman to the show. Hi, Danny.
Hello, how are you?
I'm lovely. I'm feeling more relaxed just hearing your voice.
That's good to hear. I'm doing my job properly.
You definitely are. And I love the book. I really would love to hear to start off about your journey, you know, from biochemistry to meditation. What is the trigger? What inspired you to go down this road?
Well, it's actually a very painful story.
Sorry.
Because about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, I was paragliding over a range of hills in southern England called the Cotswolds. Now, at that time, paragliding was the absolute center of my life. If it was a good day for flying, you would find me somewhere over southern England, just soaring around with the birds. And on this day, it is an extraordinary thing to do. And on this day, everything was going great. And then all of a sudden, I was hit by the most tremendous downdraft of wind. And my paragliding canopy completely collapsed. And I tumbled head over heels and slammed into the hillside below. Now, luckily, I landed on my feet. But unluckily, the lower half of my right leg was driven through the knee and into my thigh.
My gosh.
So, yes, exactly. It was a absolutely horrific injury. I could see the bones lifting the cloth of my jeans and out the side of my knee. I mean, it was a mess. It's too much detail, really. So I was lying there completely stunned, as you can imagine. And I suddenly remembered a form of meditation that I'd learned when I was in high school. I must have been about 16 or 17. And we were taught this for stress relief. And I'd used it off and on over the years to deal with the normal stresses and strains of daily life, you know, exams, difficult work situations, that kind of thing. Somewhere along the line, I'd heard that meditation had been used for pain relief. So in sheer desperation, I decided to give it a try, and I really didn't expect it to work. So I began this very, very simple breathing meditation. There was just one slight problem. I couldn't breathe. You know, the air had been completely knocked out of my body. And, you know, I just could not breathe. I was like desperately trying to take this intake of air, and I just couldn't. And, you know, at that moment, I suddenly thought, you know, is this it? You know, am I just in the last moments before I'm dying? And, you know, as I relaxed into it in a funny kind of way, I suddenly took the most tremendous breath imaginable. You know, it was the best breath I've ever taken, I assure you. And, you know, I'm there, like, finally breathing and desperately focusing on the breath, you know, whilst completely racked with pain. I mean, it was, you know, just unimaginable pain. And much to my surprise, over the next few minutes, the pain began to subside quite a lot, you know, enough for me to phone the emergency services and just generally keep things together long enough for an ambulance to arrive. And yes, they took me to hospital, and you know, it was very, very serious injuries, and they attached to my leg what's known as a Taylor spatial frame. And this consists, it was just out of the experimental stage at that time, and it looks like a medieval torture implement. It consists it's like three or four concentric rings of titanium around the outside of the leg. There's 16 wires and bolts that were going from these rings into the side of a leg through a fragment of bone and out the other side. And this allowed the surgeons to kind of move all the bits of bone around inside my leg. And I was told I was going to have this on for, I think this is about 18 to 24 months. Which didn't fill me with joy, I can tell you. And so I was on the most tremendous cocktail of painkillers and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And I was so impressed with the meditation that I'd been using that I decided to, you know, use it more and more, because I'd found it very useful on the hillside to kill the pain. And I began to use it as I lay in my hospital bed. And, you know, I found it tremendously therapeutic because, you know, as you can imagine, I was extremely anxious, highly stressed, and not a little bit unhappy with the situation I was in. And I realized that as I was doing this meditation, I just began to relax and feel a lot happier. And the more I did this meditation, the greater relief I gained. I spent about a month in hospital. Then I went home and I did this meditation for, I think it was about half an hour each day, sometimes more. And my rate of healing really accelerated. So much so that, you know, I managed to reduce my intake of painkillers by about 2/3. And there's lots of other drugs that they managed to wean me off as well. Yeah. And, you know, they said that, you know, there's a huge risk of infection because of all these, you know, basically complications from having all these bits of metal sticking out of my leg. And they said you'd normally get 3 or 4 infections. And astonishingly, I did not get a single one. You know, my immune system, my healing system's really kicked into high gear. And to such a degree that I actually had this frame removed from my leg after 17 or 18 weeks.
Wow.
And, you know, the surgeon's absolutely astonished. You know, this, I went to one of the UK's main teaching hospitals because it was a really interesting injury. You know, if you're going to have an accident, have a really spectacular one where you have really interesting injuries that you know, the best surgeons are going to really enjoy dealing with.
Totally. Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. So isn't it, it's so funny how sometimes like the worst thing that happens can turn into this amazing gift. And then you were able to share that with the world.
Wow. Because I had so much time on my hands, as you can imagine, that I began to do more and more research about this meditation that I'd been using. And, you know, this stage, I didn't even know its name, but I tracked down a man at Oxford University in the UK, Professor Mark Williams, who'd turned this meditation known as mindfulness into an astonishingly effective technique known as mindfulness-based cognitive therapy. Mm-hmm. And this had just been proven to, well, it's just being rolled out across our National Health Service because it had been found to be at least as good as drugs or counseling for the treatment of the worst forms of depression. And this, you know, this was actually a huge breakthrough.
And yeah. It's biochemically, right? It's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so I tracked down Mark and, you know, I became good friends with him because I, you know, at this stage, not many people were interested in mindfulness at all. This is what, 12 years ago. And, you know, I was a journalist at the time and I was doing my level best to get this into the public domain and nobody was interested, you know, absolutely nobody in the mainstream press was interested in meditation or mindfulness. And
wow, times have changed, huh?
absolutely. So we agreed to work together to take his work and turn it into a book that, you know, ordinary people could use. So instead of meditating for 45 minutes a day and doing, you know, quite big 2-hour classes each week over 8 weeks, we've essentially cut it down substantially so that people could just meditate for 10 or 12 minutes a day. So that turned into our book, Mindfulness, an 8-week plan for finding peace in a frantic world. And that just took off. I mean, it's sold over 1 million copies now.
Amazing. International best-selling book translated to a bunch of languages. Yeah, it's awesome. I've read that one too. It's a great book. And, you know, I think that part of the biggest problem that we have in our society today is that the lack of mindfulness is kind of, you know, it's so frustrating, like just a silly example, but my partner and I, we go to the supermarket and people just walk right in front of you and block you and they knock you over. They say, just like, and he gets really angry because he's very mindful and he almost takes it. He obviously doesn't get angry, but he's like, wow, look at how these people are acting. Like, we're not aware of the moment and what we're doing with our bodies and what we're doing with our thoughts.
Yeah.
And that would, well, but I would love to hear from you. How do you describe what mindfulness is?
Well, mindfulness is quite simply full conscious awareness, you know, full conscious awareness of whatever is going on around you, inside your mind, you know, all the thoughts, feelings, and emotions coursing through your mind and your body. Mm-hmm. So it's really like being in contact with the present moment and not worrying about the past or worrying about the future. And it's really as simple and straightforward as that, you know.
Yep. Why do you think people have such a hard time with mindfulness?
Lots of reasons. First off, I don't think humans are particularly good at it. You know, it's you know, our minds are wired to wander. You know, our minds are designed to just sift information constantly and put it all together and come up with new ideas and, you know, try and interpret things. Now, in the past, when we weren't overloaded with information, that was a process that was extremely valuable. But what happens now is we are constantly under bombardment, you know, from not just mobile phones or televisions or emails, but everything, you know, everywhere we look, there's just this kind of hyper reality, you know, advertising and noise and, you know, overpowering images.
Yes,
and
totally.
Yeah, we just can't get away from it. We cannot rest.
And so what's really cool about mindfulness is, and meditation in general, I mean, I love meditation, but I think that you addressed possibly one of the biggest issues that people think they have with meditation in the book, which is that they have to completely clear their mind or they're not doing it right.
Yes.
And so because we're so overwhelmed, information overload, stimulation overload, it's like feels like an impossible task to try to clear your mind. But that's not really what it's all about, is it?
No. I mean, the wonderful thing about mindfulness is it's actually when you become aware that your mind has wandered off with itself, that's a moment of mindfulness, that moment of realization that your mind has just tied itself in knots again is actually that's the meditation. It's that moment is the meditation.
I love that because I think I know for myself, I started meditating in kind of similar circumstances. I was very sick. I had to have a bunch of surgeries. I was unwell. And I had before that always been curious about it. But I said, like, I can't do that. I can't sit still. I can't lay there or sit there for an hour in lotus pose oming. That's just not realistic. I never wanted to try it. And then once I started doing it, I realized that I'm not doing this to try to achieve a goal or achieve some kind of nirvana or enlightenment. I'm doing this because it makes me feel better.
Right.
So that's, I think, the thing that most people don't know. And if you know me, I'm super high energy, you know, wild all over the place. But that even like 5 or 10 minutes of just sitting still and breathing really leaves me feeling focused and rejuvenated and just generally more functional. And it helps to balance that kind of crazy energy that can get very out of control. So I guess, so for someone like me, or for some, you know, for someone who's living in a high paced, fast paced life and who's maybe a beginner who's never done this, what advice do you have for them? Or how would you teach them a little technique or two to do this? Or let's say it's an adolescent who's super anxious and all they do is play video games. Like, you know, what would you do to help?
Yeah. Well, embrace the chaos, embrace the madness of it all. Because it's, you can literally meditate on anything at all, you know, any noises. One of my favorite meditations is a sounds and thoughts meditation. And this is where, for example, you go to the park or perhaps you're on a plane or anywhere there's noise really. And you just focus on the sounds, you know, the way they rise and fall. And the way, you know, they're inherently unpredictable. They just arrive from nowhere and then just drift away to nowhere. And after a while, you come to the realization that that's how your mind works as well. Yes. You know, thoughts appear in your mind. They hang around for a while. They might trigger a few other thoughts, and then they just kind of drift off again. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's really a very, very important realization.
I think that part of the biggest problem is that unwillingness to be present in the mind, that we have a fear of our thoughts.
Yeah.
And we don't necessarily want to know like that. And you talk about this in the book, and you do a really great job describing kind of the experience of pain and fear and anxiety in the body, and how you breathe into that pain. And by doing so, it goes away. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, there's something very, very curious about the way the mind and the body works, in that all of our distressing thoughts and feelings and emotions, and also pain as well, they're essentially messages. And if you ignore them or push them away, they're very, very dutiful. You know, they will just keep on coming back, because they're not just messages, they're messengers as well. So they just keep on coming back and tapping you on the shoulder and reminding you that they're still around. And what you need to do is accept the message. And when you accept the message, the messenger just melts away. It's done its job. Why would it hang around? You know? Mm-hmm. So if you're feeling anxious, focusing on the appearance of anxiety in your body, you know, you might find it localized in the chest or the neck or the stomach, you know, wherever it is, just focus on it. Notice how it rises and falls, the different sensations that make up the overall sensation of anxiety. And when you do that and breathe into it as well, just kind of consciously, mentally breathe into those feelings, they begin to melt away. And it's a really profound effect, you know, and this is what I go into in the art of breathing, is these very simple techniques, these very simple breathing techniques are so profoundly important and effective.
I have a question, which is, and maybe, I don't know, maybe there is some overlap here. You know, the difference between, say, pranayama or other breath works or breathing techniques or yogic breathing, and the breathing that you talk about for mindfulness.
Yeah. Well, they are all, you know, these are all ancient techniques that have been around for at least 2,500 years. They all, you know, fed off each other in a way in the Far East. You know, there isn't one original technique. There isn't one technique that is, you know, significantly better than another. It's just, well, as we say in England, it's horses for courses. You know, certain techniques work better for certain people at certain times, and different techniques work for different people at other times.
I love that. Okay. Yeah. I mean, and I agree. And I know a lot of people say that yoga is their meditation. And I love yoga. But I feel for myself that yoga is for the body what meditation is for the mind.
Yeah, I mean, yoga is, you know, originally was a moving meditation, you know, so the idea is you focus on the way the body feels as it moves. So it is a form of meditation, but yeah, you know, if it doesn't work for you, then don't do it.
But I loved in the book how you talk about how anything can be a meditation. Looking at the stars can be a meditation.
Yes.
The fruit meditation, right? Just like any practice you do, you can bring it. And I know something that's really big, like in Japan and the Far East, and also more frequently, you know, in America now with all the shantiness we have, is tea meditation and tea ceremony. Yes. You know, it's become, and so that's, I think the take home message here is that you can be meditating in any area of your life where you put mindfulness and really are very deliberate about your thoughts and your behaviors.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, one of my favorite meditation techniques is actually the chocolate meditation.
I love that. I do that one often.
Yeah.
Can you tell our listeners like what that entails very quickly?
Yeah, it's choose your a nice candy bar, maybe one that you wouldn't normally eat, so that all the sensations and tastes are slightly different. And just open the packet, you know, focus on all of the different aromas, then gradually just break off a piece and put it on your tongue and just feel it as it melts into your tongue. And, you know, all the different flavors and aromas, just the way they wash over you. And, you know, when you feel ready, swallow it and have another piece.
Oh my God, awesome. I love that. I love that. You have such a nice, your voice sounds very familiar. I don't know if I've heard it before or if you're just really good at leading. Do you lead a lot of guided meditations?
Yeah, I mean, all my books have got meditations from me. And if you go to my website, franticworld.com, you can download loads of meditations and for free.
Cool.
A number have my voice on them.
Yeah, that's maybe I've heard one of those then, because I'm like, oh, just listening to you talk is so soothing. It's meditative. I think on that note, we'll take a quick break. And when we come back, Dr. Danny Penman and I are going to continue talking about mindfulness. And we're also going to talk a little bit about more about breath and different meditation techniques that you can incorporate really right now just with air and a chair, right? So yep. Stick with us and we'll be right back after this short break.
Have you ever wondered if there's a way to heal the deep, hidden inner issues, wounds, beliefs, and traumas? The Journey into Spiritual Healing engages people in all areas of their lives to heal themselves and others. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Dr. Jaffe brings conversations of healing of body, mind, and spirit as he merges the excellence of traditional medicine with the beauty of spiritual healing. For more information about Dr. Jaffe, this show, and his work, visit drjaffemd.com.
Are you searching? Looking for a sign? A message you need to hear? From the great unknown? From the most mysterious place that is the most familiar to your soul and the depths of who you are? The universe put someone here to talk to, someone God gave a blessing to that you may find insight with. TheAngelLady.net. 1-800-323-1790.
Finding success and putting minds to work. With the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series, Rudy Racine will help you craft your personal definition of success, offering support and guidance as you move forward towards your goals. Take the leap. With the right mix of focus and motivation, anything can be achieved. Tune in every first and third Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 Eastern, and for more information on Rudy Racine and Higher Learners, visit Rudy's site at higherlearners.com. That's HIRE learners.com.
The Janice Underwood Show, helping you create the life you want, not the life you tolerate. Tune in each Monday, 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as Janice delves into the life creator system and the next step in your spiritual evolution. Janice Underwood is gifted at helping spiritually minded people shift their mindsets to unleash the creator within. Our souls wish to wake us up. Those of us listening hear the call. Do you? For more information, visit JaniceUnderwood.com.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. I am so thrilled to be talking to all of you. We have got talk radio for all of us. Are you ready and willing and able to accept all of the abundance you can muster up in your life? Yeah! Check us out at drpatshow.com, transformationtalkradio.com, transformationradio.fm. Oh my goodness.
We are back here on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and my guest today, Dr. Danny Penman, and I are talking about how to become more mindful, how to use your breath to make yourself feel happier, more relaxed, more creative, all these great benefits. And we're going to talk about science of this and kind of the cosmic nature of it. But before we do, I know that many of you listening have been going through a lot of anxiety and stress right now. And I mean, pick any number of current events, particularly here in America. I've never met so many of people. I was traveling last week. So many people were just talking about how stressed they are. And because I'm a psychologist, they just naturally want to tell me about it. And this happens a lot, but it seems to be getting worse. All my friends on social media posting about their anxieties. And my heart goes out to everyone. And I feel it too. Honestly, it's hard not to. But there's stuff we can do to kind of like get this layer of film off of us, so to speak. And so I was hoping that Danny, because you have such a lovely, relaxing voice and all these great meditations, could you walk us through a really brief kind of breathing exercise for those of people who've maybe never done this before?
Yeah, I can lead you through a couple. Cool. The simplest one that can literally be done anywhere, whenever you are feeling stressed or anxious, is just where you close your eyes and focus on the sensations of breathing. And so consciously take a breath, and as you breathe in, slowly count to five, then pause for a moment, and only a moment, and then breathe out to the count of seven in your mind. And if you do that three or four times, you will find it will have the most tremendously powerful effect. You will begin to calm down quite dramatically. And this is because when you consciously breathe in and out, you stimulate what's known as the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the kind of the soothing, calming aspect of the nervous system. And it has this wonderful virtuous circle to it, where you know you begin to relax, and then you know you kind of your breathing becomes more fluid and slower and more relaxed, which means you then which means you then relax a tiny bit more, and then your breathing becomes even more fluid and relaxed. And then so you calm down a little bit more. So you end up in this wonderful virtuous circle of, so very quickly you can become really quite relaxed just by consciously taking a few breaths. And then everything follows from that, because the breath is naturally meditative. So that's a form of meditation that, you know, most people would never consider doing, and would be surprised how easy it is and how effective it is.
Very effective.
Yes. And then the second one is a slightly more formal meditation, in that, you know, you might have to set aside a few minutes, preferably up to 8 or 10 minutes to do it. And this is best done by sitting in a straight-backed chair. So just sit there in a straight-backed chair with your feet flat on the floor and your hands placed loosely in your lap, with your spine an inch or two from the back of the chair, and then gently closing your eyes and just take a single in-breath and focus on where the sensations of breathing are the strongest, and then just breathe out and just do that for at least a few minutes. And after a while, you'll realize that your mind has wandered off with itself. And this is entirely normal. You know, this is the way minds work. They constantly think. So each time you realize that your mind has wandered, just shepherd your awareness back to the sensations of breathing. And just do that ideally for 8 to 10 minutes. And when you've done so, open your eyes and just reconnect with the world around you, and you'll be stunned by how calm you are compared to whatever's going on around you.
It's a true oasis when we just are constantly bombarded by electromagnetic frequencies and screens, pings and emails and everything. You know, it's just like so nice to have that your space back.
Absolutely. And people can download that meditation that lasts 10 minutes. So I'll actually guide. It's a full guided meditation that lasts 10 minutes. Awesome. You can download it from my website, franticworld.com, and just have a look around. So it's franticworld.com/AOB, as in art of breathing.
AOB. Now, do you do workshops, or do you teach people this stuff like in person anywhere, or are you thinking about doing that?
I do from time to time. The last few years, I've been focused mostly on books. You know, it's which is tremendously time consuming.
I'm right there with you. I feel you. Yeah. Oh man, what would you have more books on mindfulness in the future?
Yeah, I will. I'm just working on another one that ties together some themes that, you know, appeared in The Art of Breathing, really. Just this connection between ourselves and everything, really.
I was just saying during the break, one of my favorite things, my favorite parts of the book is the section talking about kind of the cosmic nature of breathing. Could you share a little bit about what you meant by that, that the whole universe is breathing?
Yes, this is when you begin to look at it, you know, our planet, our universe, everything breathes. You know, in May, our planet takes a gigantic in-breath. You know, the sun, you know, when spring arrives in the Northern Hemisphere, all of a sudden the huge grasslands and forests begin to take a gigantic in-breath of carbon dioxide and suck unimaginable quantities of carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere and exhale oxygen. Mm-hmm. And so there's this huge in-breath that goes on until late summer, early fall. And then the planet takes a giant out-breath and, you know, oxygen levels begin to fall, carbon dioxide levels begin to rise. So it really is just akin to a breath. Mm-hmm. But what I love most is the fact that stars also breathe. You know, stars originally formed billions of years ago when giant clouds of hydrogen began to kind of coalesce and fly to, you know, began, under their own gravity, they begin to fall inwards. So it was like a gigantic in-breath, you know, this huge cloud of hydrogen is just sucked up by you know, the kind of gravitational pull. So there's a giant in-breath. And then all of a sudden, you get a ignition, you know, where the hydrogen begins to burn in a nuclear reaction. And after a while, you know, after billions upon billions upon billions of years, there's a momentary pause. And then a gigantic out-breath as the star explodes in a supernova. And it really is. It just, the parallels to me, I just think are quite beautiful. But it's not just stars that breathe. Our entire universe does as well, because everything was born with a gigantic out-breath. You know, the Big Bang, where everything just appeared out of nothing, you know, instantaneously, everything arose from nothing in a gigantic outbreath. And, you know, everything is just flying apart. And at some point in the future, tens of billions of years away, there'll be a momentary pause. And then there'll be a gigantic in-breath as everything begins flowing backwards towards itself, a gigantic in-breath. Mm-hmm. And then there'll be a momentary pause when everything just crashes into each other. There'll be that momentary pause. And then who knows what happens? Maybe there'll be another out-breath. Maybe that's the end. Who knows?
It'll keep going forever, I think. I hope. I mean, I also loved it. There's something very meditative about visualizing it. Sometimes I love visualizing kind of being consumed, having that earth energy coming up through my feet and the energy of the stars and the planets coming, you know, in through the top of my head, and they just meet in my chest. And I just love that idea of feeling connected to the universe and everything around us. And yeah, that idea that we're breathing in the same, you know, we're I can't remember exactly how you said it, but we're breathing in the same air as the stars breathed out, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's where it is. We are all composed of the breath of stars.
Yeah, you know,
all of those atoms, all of those atoms were born inside exploding stars.
And that's why just sitting and staring at the stars with your bare feet on the ground.
I know. It's,
right.
It's one of my, it's something that I love doing more than just about anything else. You know, a warm summer's evening in the park and just looking upwards and seeing the stars and just taking your shoes and socks off and just feeling the grass between your toes and the ground beneath your feet and just looking up at the stars twinkling away. And, you know, that the light from those stars may have taken billions of years to reach your eyes. Well, the stars may no longer exist. They may have blown up hundreds of millions of years, but we won't know for hundreds of millions of years.
I love it so much. We're going to take one more break. And when we come back, Dr. Danny Penman and I are going to wrap up this lovely show all about mindfulness and meditation. And we're going to talk a little bit more about like the future of where meditation and breathing is going and a little bit more about the science. And stay with us to wrap up the show. We'll be right back.
The earth is an ever-changing being. Goddess Light, shamanic healer, Bree Gibbs guides us through the ascending worlds, bringing forth knowledge and truth. As a light creator, she is here to provide new information needed at this time in our evolution. Join Bree as she shares messages from guides, spirits, ascended masters, goddesses, and others. Tune in Thursdays, 1 p.m. Pacific, for Silver Gaia Radio.
The truth is funny. Shift Happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Main. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit SarahMain.com.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a moment for standing in your power. Self-control begins with noticing how different feelings present themselves in your body. When you're feeling sensitive, for example, your chin might quiver, tears might well up in your eyes, and your voice might catch in your throat. Anger, on the other hand, might appear as tension in your jaw, back, or arms, along with clenched fists, heat in the upper torso, scowling, and a strong desire to yell. The more aware you become of your body cues, the easier it will be to recognize when you're on the road to disaster. Choose the emotions that cause you problems, then start noticing and logging the body cues that come with them.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com. That's empoweringnrg.com.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. And I've just had the most relaxing morning here with Dr. Danny Pedman talking about breathing and mindfulness and his new book, The Art of Breathing. Now, Danny, you're a biochemistry PhD, right?
That's right.
All right. Okay, good. Just checking. So do you find it kind of, how scientifically important is it to you that this meditative breathing actually works?
Well, to me, it's fundamental. I'm kind of a bit of a mechanic at heart. You know, I want to know how things work. But more importantly, I want to know that they do actually work, because, you know, it's very easy to spend a huge amount of time wandering off doing some technique that you think might work, but actually it doesn't. You're just wasting your time. And the great thing about mindfulness is, huge numbers of studies have now shown how good it is for, you know, anxiety, stress, and depression. You know, I mean, one technique or one program in particular, known as mindfulness-based cognitive therapy, has been shown in countless trials now to be at least as good as drugs or counseling for the worst forms of depression. And, you know, for the most severe forms of depression, there's the strong indications that it's actually more effective than the best available drugs.
And do we know, I mean, I find this incredibly amazing and fascinating. I mean, we there's even studies that mindfulness-based cognitive therapy can help regrow your brain gray matter.
Yes, it's this is quite interesting, because the brain constantly rewires itself. Every time you learn something, you know, new circuits are laid down in the brain and new cells are formed. And what seems to happen is parts of the brain associated with paying attention, for example, and, you know, emotional balance tend to thicken up slightly. And, you know, even if it's only a millionth of an inch increase in, depth, as it were, of these parts of the brain, that's actually many millions of extra cells and probably billions of synapses that are being formed. And the brain ends up in this kind of wonderful, virtuous cycle where, you know, if it begins, it gets hardwired to kind of pay attention more easily and for longer. Well, it's actually becomes slightly easier to meditate, which, you know, means that those brain areas are enhanced even more, which means you can meditate even more effectively. And we keep seeing this when it comes to mindfulness. You know, you there's these wonderful virtuous circles which kind of really enhance the quality of life.
It does. It's kind of like a self-perpetuating or self-reinforcing cycle. The more you do it, the easier it is to keep doing it, and you do more of it. You know, one of the funniest things about meditation, and we all kind of can agree, it's that we don't do it when we're feeling good. We do it when we're like absolutely at a loss for anything else and we're like, I need help. And then we remember this technique. How can we help people biohack themselves to remember to do it even when they don't need the help, right? Or even just to maintain, you know?
Yeah. One of the, you know, it's, I think it's really important to just do a little bit each day. You know, it's far better to do a few minutes each day than wait until you have some crisis and then try and do several hours at once. So, you know, when you wake up in the morning, or, you know, you have your first cup of coffee or tea or whatever, you know, just pay attention to all of the aromas and the tastes, and, you know, if not only of the drink, but of whatever is going on around you. So it's just stopping through the day to kind of pay attention to what's going on. You know, your daily life is the most important meditation of all in many ways.
It is. Thank you for saying that. And for people out there who are really suffering from anxiety and depression, you can find a mindfulness cognitive-based therapy teacher or therapist who there's more and more psychologists being trained to help. I mean, obviously shows like this and guided meditations and books help too. But if you feel like you need that extra bit of help, I do encourage you to look, because you'd be surprised at what you can find, because this works so well.
Something else I wanted to bring up really quickly before we end the show is about biohacking, biohacking flow and creativity, which is like one of the most important things. You're a writer. I'm a writer. There's many artists and writers out there. Mindfulness meditation also enhances your creativity, doesn't it?
It does. Yes. You find that, you know, as the mind clears, you can notice ideas more easily as they kind of bubble up from your deep subconscious. And it also allows you to hold, it expands what's known as working memory so that you can actually hold more concepts in your mind at the same time. And that massively increases creativity. Just that very calm, tranquil state of mind where you're just more able to assimilate information and put ideas together. You know, that's the best way imaginable of enhancing creativity.
Exactly. And so, you know, in psychology, we talk about flow, right? And flow dynamics and all of these ideas. And I know Jamie Wheel of the Flow Genome Project has been, I keep getting his emails, fascinating stuff, but they're testing out extreme breathing.
Yes.
The Wim Hof method, which many of us know, he's become really famous on the internet. His whole Wim Hof is all about you do this breathing. And what happens is when you hold your breath, it increases the availability of red blood cells and oxygens like in your body. I think that's how it works. But there's all different, there's just so many different types. So I encourage you to look up the flow genome. If you guys are interested in like taking this to the next level, there's all different kinds of like biohacking out there for like, you know, extreme breath holding and what that can do. Now that's not really my thing. I don't like holding my breath. I like breathing. But you know, I still think it's really interesting that this is this whole idea, this concept, which is an old, ancient concept, is just having this incredible resurgence right now. Maybe it's a reaction to our, you know, being overwhelmed by stress that we're now willing to accept these alternatives. And what I think is really cool is also that we're getting young people into this and we're in, it's being integrated into different programs. And I was just wondering, Danny, if you had any thoughts about kind of the future of where this is all heading.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that mindfulness will become so integrated into daily life, people just don't realize they're doing it anymore. But yeah, a bit like brushing teeth, you know, nobody pays much attention to, you know, nobody asks anybody else if they brush their teeth today, do they? You know, I want it to become just as ordinary as brushing your teeth.
And I love that.
Yeah. And it's being taught. There's a big pilot program involving many thousands of children in the UK, in schools across the UK.
Awesome.
You know, just to teach them these very simple mindfulness techniques. And, you know, the plan is to roll it right through our education system so that every child in the country is taught basic breathing meditations, for example, basic meditations, and just teach them how the mind works, how it ties itself in knots, and how they can cope with anxiety, stress, and depression. And you know, we're very, very pleased that they're using our first book, you know, Mindfulness, Finding Peace in a Frantic World, as that's being used to train the teachers, as it were.
Oh, I love that. Congratulations.
Yeah. And it's just, there's been a big clinical trial done at Cambridge University involving, I think it was about 600 or 700 students, to test our book as well to see if it actually works. And they found it as at least as good as drugs or counseling for anxiety, stress and depression.
Wow, no kidding. I mean, that pretty much says it all. I guess the difference is, you know, for mindfulness to work, you have to be committed to being present versus taking drugs. You can just take drugs and then you never really have to be present.
Yes.
You know, but that presence is nothing to be afraid of.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, your life happens in the present moment. It doesn't happen in the past and it won't happen in the future or it doesn't happen in the future. It's the present moment is the only time that really matters.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's a great way to end the show. that went by so fast. I just want to thank you, Dr. Danny Penman, for coming on the show. And listeners, if you want more, please check out his new book, The Art of Breathing, as well as Mindfulness, and franticworld.com for some guided meditations. Am I getting that right?
Yep, franticworld.com.
Awesome. And just remember, you have the power within yourself to heal and to grow and to make change happen. You don't need anything from the outside. And I think that that's an incredibly empowering message. And I just want to thank you again for coming on the show, Dr. Penman.
I had a really nice time. I just love talking about this stuff.
Me too. You definitely, I feel like I got a meditation just from chatting with you because I feel super chill.
Thank you.
Well, thank you guys. And remember, you can tune in every Wednesday, first month, every first Wednesday at 10 a.m. for now. And also listen to all 100 shows on thelucidplanet.com. And please check out my new project, Slut Logic, coming out later this year. Light and love to everybody. And I hope you have a beautiful rest of your day, week, month, season, etc. Take care. Lots of love. Bye.
You've been listening to the hit show, Lucid Planet Radio, with renowned psychologist and author, Dr. Kelly Neff. Tune in each week as we illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. This hit show will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake up to the greatest version of yourself. Learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness as you explore the deeper knowledge, passion, and purpose within. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for upcoming show topics and to contact Dr. Kelly.